So from Phil Walters, we've got a consortium of octopodes.
Ooh, a consortium of octopodes.
This is a conspiracy thriller.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Spectre with the octopus logo on their branding.
Yeah.
The octopus rings.
Yes.
Imagine if James Bond had got to the top of Spectre and it was just a giant octopus.
Yeah, I think it's not even giant, just a regular-sized octopus.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Several of them.
Yeah, it could just be like, it's, you know, the bear scene in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Not the Marvel one, the Sean Connery one, where it's just a load of big
fuzzy,
bear costumes.
Fuzzy Care Bear things.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's all octopuses. This is the next James Bond movie.
We make a
spy thriller.
Quantum of Solace, Consortium of Octopodes.
Yeah. So we've got to have our own kind of spy man.
Yeah.
You know, like a Jack Ryan or a Jack Reacher or a James Bond.
Nicky DeLorean.
Nicky DeLorean.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking like youngish.
Yeah. What's her name?
Zendaya?
No. Older than Zendaya, I think. What's her name? Nebula.
Oh, Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, I think. Yeah, Nicky DeLorean.
Yeah. My dad just tried to describe to me this movie with Karen Gillan the other day, and I'm pretty sure he pronounced her name 4 different times.
Karen Gillan.
Gillian.
So this kind of spy, it's a spy movie.
Mm.
I think they're investigating like a gambling fixing thing.
Okay.
Like in sports.
And roulette.
Like it's in there. Like there's casinos and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of it is like there's people have made a lot of money off casinos. Like
we at MI6 are gonna look into this.
Like make this, well, yeah, kind of. They're like, you're investigating because like 7 different massive casinos have made have lost £500,000 billion each on this latest sports thing.
Yeah.
And we've investigated, there's no sign of it being fixed in any way.
Yeah.
What's going on in these, like, the people...
But the money is going to terrorists.
Yeah, it's all...
All across the world.
Yeah. And it turns out that what's going on is that this consortium of octopi are, you know, that octopus that predicts the World Cup?
Yeah.
It's loads of those.
It's just
telling you what's going to happen.
They can predict the future and see that Nicky DeLorean is out to get them.
Yeah. So they're sending, like, let's say sea-based assassins.
What?
You know,
yeah.
Just see themed assassins, like like an assassin to try and kill Nicky DeLorean, but they use stonefish venom.
Okay, so like with the James Bond thing, we've got to have a load of like random amazing locations that are all out at sea.
Yeah.
So we've got the Brighton Pier.
Yes.
We've got those islands in Dubai that are shaped like the world.
Oh, and the man-made ones.
The man-made islands and peninsulas in Dubai. We've got those. We've got an oil rig.
Yeah.
Which has been converted into a casino.
Yeah, the oil rig casino.
The oil rig casino. Yeah. You've got... what else is out at sea?
Let's see. Or coastal, right?
Yeah, or coastal, yeah.
Mont Saint Michel.
Okay.
The monastery that Care Paravel was designed after.
Oh.
You know, it's out on the French coast and it's like a
yeah.
It's tech technically not an island, but yeah. it looks like it.
You can only get to it at certain parts of the day, can't you? Because the tide comes in, and then that's cool. Yeah, these are all James Bondy locations.
I'm surprised they haven't used Mont Saint-Michel. Actually, it's a really James Bondy location.
I think, didn't they use it for Johnny English?
Maybe
there was a chateau on an island in Johnny English.
Was there?
I think it may have been different though. It may have been a different location.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's like just off the coast. There was a castle or something.
What's funny is that there's a one down in like Cornwall or something called like Mount St. Michael.
I think it might have been that.
Was
one.
Was it that?
Yeah, maybe.
And it's like it's just a rock. Yeah. It's just like it's got a monastery on it, but it's like a little thing.
Yeah. So I think she takes out one of these octopuses. She's like talking back to base, like, you'll never believe what I've just seen at the like top of this tower.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got to the top of Mont Saint-Michel and in a tank on the desk. Right?
On a computer.
Whoever was doing this has escaped. I haven't found them.
Yeah.
But there was just an octopus. They've left behind like a calling card. It's just an octopus in a tank.
Yeah.
And she's like turning her back, you know, on the phone. And then like this octopus like wraps its tentacles around her neck. And it's like, you know, trying to
And she's like, it is the octopus. It is the octopus.
Yeah, it takes a little while to figure out that they are all working together at the heart of all these operations. Octopi.
And she's basically, it could be a video game, couldn't it? She's got to go up a level and then kill an octopus.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
We're pretty much going for the video game here most.
Yes.
More so than the movie. The movie's just a tie-in.
Each boss is an octopus and it gets increasingly difficult.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like... You've got an octopus made the. You've got an octopus that drives a mech.
And the oil rig is built over the mouth of the Kraken.
Oh yes, the god octopus.
That's it. And they're all from the far realm. It's all kind of Lovecraftian. Turns out octopuses are from space.
Yes, yeah. It's James Bond. If at the end there was a Lovecraftian nightmare.
Twist, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I would watch something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like. Spy intrigue, and all the way through you're like, they're going to rumble this big conspiracy.
Yeah.
And the conspiracy turns out to be like cosmic horror cult. I think I'd watch that.
That would be quite a cool twist, actually. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it would have the name Consortium of Octopodes.
Consortium of Octopodes.
But it would be pretty fun. Must admit.
It would be pretty fun.
Who would you put on Mount Rushmore now?
Werner Herzog.
Yep.
Four times.
Four Werner Herzogs.
Yeah. Just as he's got older.
I'd put Werner Herzog.
Yep.
David Lynch.
Yep. That's a good shout, actually.
And then Gordon Ramsay. And Brendan Fraser.
Cool. Like recent Renaissance.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser.
Cool. Well, yeah.
In his hat from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes. Maybe I'd have Werner Herzog and maybe like Yoda. Awesome.
Yoda's a good baby Yoda.
Baby, not baby Yoda.
No, no. To be fair, that's too marketable.
You've got to have
wrinkly Muppet Yoda.
You got to have wrinkly Muppet Yoda. It just reminds me of the time me and India watched Mandalorian. She'd never seen a Star Wars. We watched Mandalorian, and then sort of on the way home from a wedding, she was like, "So Mandalorian, who is he to Darth Vader?" And I was like.
He's Darth Vader's uncle.
Yeah. I should have just gone with that and then just watched confused as Darth Vader never came up again. Yeah, I was like...
Who is he to Darth Vader?
He's no one. He's basically no one to Darth Vader. It's really funny. It was like, who is he to... It's all the same story, right?
He's got a hat on, though.
Yeah, he's got a hat on. He's got a helmet on. But, like, that's where the similarities begin and end.
He's friends with Luke Skywalker.
He's not Mandalorian. turns up and goes, "Can I have my Yoda back, please?"
He is. He's friends with Luke Skywalker,
yeah.
Which means he's Darth Vader's son's friend.
Who
plays over at his son's friend's house sometimes.
Yeah. Eventually, that's where it gets to. Yeah. But it's like, who is he to Darth Vader? I was like, he's
dead.
Very tangential at best.
Darth Vader's been dead for a bit.
I've been not on Twitter recently, but occasionally I just sort of pop in and go, "Hello, everyone. What's going down?" It's mainly just ads.
What's happening on X right now, Tom?
On X? Fucking hell. Nothing good. Mm. However, aside from all the weird Dune shit I've been seeing, someone made a sandworm they could ride around the lobby of a cinema.
That's bizarre.
It's one of those those one wheel like unicycle things you can stand on.
Yeah.
And sort of ride around.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd put like basically like a dog tunnel.
Yeah.
Sprayed it cream and then dressed up as like a Fremen and just like rode around and with the caption, and this is my favourite bit, "Cinema is back." This guy's just riding around this.
So that's such runner energy, isn't it?
It's the Matrix Nerds video on YouTube, yeah. The guy dressed as a sentinel.
Yeah, sentinel. He's used like air conditioning outpipes.
I'm still convinced that's Conan O'Brien. Like, if you look back at it, it's like that's Conan O'Brien doing a bit. But yeah, there's that. There's basically just loads of Dune posts,
yeah.
And also this amazing new thing that someone's found.
Mm.
So I think it was Argentina. I'll just check. So in Argentina, when they played Star Wars on TV, instead of cutting the film into bits and having ad breaks, around 2003 in Chile, when the original trilogy of Star Wars began airing on television there, they did this funny thing to avoid cutting to commercial breaks. They stitched the commercials into the films themselves.
What?
So,
your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
So he went to the box and got out a beer from an ice box.
Yeah. Cerveza Cristal.
He's in this scene. If you haven't seen Star Wars, in this scene he goes to the box and gets out the lightsaber.
Yeah,
for Luke.
He just opens the box and it cuts to a close up of the box.
Yeah,
where there's just a load of beers on ice. Cerveza Cristal.
Cerveza Cristal.
And there's
that's
a bit,
so good.
There's a bit later on where you know how when he's taken down the. The energy, the tractor beam.
Yeah.
So they can get out of the Death Star when he's touching all those buttons.
Yeah.
It then cuts to like this mini fridge. He just opens it up and points the beer at the camera and he goes, "Cerveza Cristal!
Cerveza Cristal!" Love that.
So good. There's been a whole thing of people editing Cerveza Cristal into other movies.
That's great.
Yeah.
They should do that more often. Yeah. With like really famous movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like can't be going on with like, you know, putting it in new movies or anything like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But really famous, like we're talking like you know, if you're playing Jurassic Park on TV,
yeah.
There is fair game in like I don't know where would you find fair game there?
You'd have you know the bit on Jurassic Park where they're lowering the goat down into the raptor enclosure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just a big bottle of Cerveza Cristal being lowered down
because the raptors love Cerveza Cristal. But you could do it with any product, couldn't you?
Yeah,
you could be like.
No, I think it's got to be Cerveza Cristal. Purely for the incredible music that plays. This is, it's just product placement, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Like, if you watch a James Bond movie, he's got Sony everything.
He does, but like, James Bond is, it's out of our league.
Yeah.
We need to get movies that don't have any product placement and recut them
well,
for TV.
That's why Star Wars is so good, because there should be nothing from our world in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah, we should there. When... So I'm just thinking of where you could put cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, you know when the skull bounces down the thing and then bounces down the well in Moria?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It goes down through a dark tunnel. Like, you cut fade to black and open out into, like, coming down into everyone sat around being like, Uber Eats is here! Did you get the chow mein?
It's all orcs.
Yeah.
It's all the orcs.
And then it cuts down, they've got a well in their living room.
Yeah.
And it cuts down further and carries on the movie.
Oh, no. No, it would just change the movie altogether. Because they've just gone, oh, Uber Eats is here. Oh, they're out. They're out at the tomb of Balin. Let's go.
They're at the big door with the writing on it.
Yeah. They've not come down here. They've just stuck outside the halls of Dwellendelf. Oh, we gotta go and meet them.
Did you say leave at door again?
Leave it.
The creature in the Mirror Lake, whoever it's called, is gonna get it again.
Oh yeah, well they've struggled to get in because the door's broken. The Watcher in the Water.
Friend, speak, friend, and enter. Can you go?
That's what they've typed in.
Yeah. As an intercom.
Any instructions for your driver? Yes. Speak friend and enter. The guy's just like, what the fuck? It's a riddle?
I need a riddle to get into this compound.
Luckily they've ordered a load of melons. So he just goes, melon? And the door opens.
That's a good one for the elfish knowers.
Yes. Or anyone that's watched Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, I suppose. Enough time to have remembered a specific foreign word.
Yeah.
Made up word.
That's such a good bit. But like, I watched it, I was like, I'm sure we've done something like this before in our ad campaigns episode.
For sure,
just aggressively putting products into movies.
Yep. Tom, we're pitching, I've just remembered.
Yeah.
We're pitching family animal movies.
Mm.
I haven't done those in a little while.
No. I think, wasn't the last one like Dr. Bear or something?
Something like that. Maybe we've done it since then, but like... I think one of them was like not really an animal movie. It was like My Dad's a T-Rex.
Oh yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, starring Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, they always are, aren't they?
Yeah,
really, because we know like three child actors, and she's not a child anymore.
Not a child anymore.
None of the child actors we know are children anymore.
They need to do another Stranger Things.
Yeah, they need to do another thing that's accessible to adults, but features child actors so that we can know.
They need to do another Goonies ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, but not the Goonies.
Well, I think they should remake the Goonies.
All right, cool.
It's called The Boonies.
The Boonies on the other side of the US.
Yep, and it's about the Boondocks.
Yeah.
It's
the Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints,
but
yeah.
Kids.
Children. Boondock Saints kids. It's a cartoon. Saturday morning.
Oh, but then we wouldn't have any child actors.
What a fight!
Was a water fight. Billy Connolly turns up with a bunch of super soakers. Witter is bitter.
But no, something coming up recently reminded me that there are childhood movies, there are family animal movies, and I can't for the life of me remember what it is.
Are they doing Garfield again? Is that it?
I think Garfield, yeah, Garfield is definitely a thing.
The Chris Pratt Garfield this time, not Bill Murray.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's Chris Pratt's Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt's Garfield. It's like Sid Meier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the
So I just want to go back. So, yeah. So you used Furry Vengeance, starring
yes,
Brendan
indeed.
Fraser, on the post.
Yeah.
Liam Higgins on Twitter has not commented with any titles.
Yeah.
At least I hope this isn't a title. but basically they've written, I can assure you Fury Vengeance is not an overlooked gem. and I'm not sure if that's in praise of Furry Vengeance.
As in, you're not sure if it's like, I assure you, it's not a gem at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody overlooked it.
Yeah.
They saw it and realised that it was really bad.
It was bad.
Or he's like, well, I've not overlooked it.
Yeah, yeah.
You may have, but I certainly did not.
Like, basically, you either take overlooked gem out yeah. altogether yeah. or just take the overlooked bit out.
It is a gem.
It's a gem.
Everyone knows it's a gem.
Well, I just love the sort of ambiguity of like, could they be taking that post seriously, or could they just be like, hey, this film is a banger?
And I don't believe specifically that it is.
Mm.
I mean, I'm almost sure, Tom, that we have pitched a movie just like Furry Vengeance.
Yeah, probably.
Like, animal, there's a property developer trying to knock down a bunch of woodland, and the animals are angry.
Yeah.
And, oh, he's got bees in his hair, or whatever.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. The bears took his leg off.
He's covered in mud and poo.
Oh, poo. Poo smells bad.
Animal poo.
He's had his spine broken by a tree.
Raccoons have torn his eyes out.
Hey.
Hey. They've got opposable thumbs.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just woo. While his eyes have been scratched out.
Wow! Hey!
Those are my... I need those to see!
Those are my eyes! but yeah, man's got an Oscar.
What, Furry Vengeance?
No.
Oh, right.
Brendan Fraser.
I was like, Furry... It must have been a very slow year for the Oscars. It's like one of those years when production companies just forgot the Oscars was a thing. And they're like, oh, let's churn out stuff.
Best actor, Squirrel.
Yeah.
Oh. I think the worst part about Furry Vengeance is it's CG animals.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime they need animals in a location, they, like, superimpose them in really shoddily.
Yeah. They're not real animals? Or are they CG versions of real animals?
They're like, they're CG versions of real animals.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, it's just, it looks pretty crap.
Yeah.
And
when did it come out? Like 2004, somewhere
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, and it really shows.
Sort of on the tail end of the, sort of like, oh, Brendan Fraser, like, he's yet to do the third Mummy.
Yeah.
But he's not been anything good for a while.
Yes, yeah.
He's
George in the Jungle is long past.
Yeah, The Mummy Returns maybe was the apex, I think, of... What would we call that era of Brendan Fraser?
Well, it's the pre-Brenflites.
It'd be like...
It's the pre-Renaissance.
Well, pre-Renaissance would be like, he does nothing for years and then comes back with Furry Vengeance.
Well, what was the era before the Renaissance? Dark Ages.
Dark Ages, yeah.
But there was something, I don't know.
The
Middle Fraser's.
The Middle Fraser's. Yeah, the Middle Fraser's.
The Middle Fraser's.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's just sort of like, who knows?
Yeah.
Mm.
The Middle for Ages is, I think what we're going with, if you've got a better name for this, answers on a postcard, send us an X.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
X's at X.
We've had plenty of conversation about Beethoven.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've still got all the Beethoven movies on my watch list on Amazon.
Did we ever talk about this?
No. But there was one night where we were just sort of skimming through Amazon as to what to watch. And Matt... I think Matt had control of the remote.
I did.
So they just...
I become a bit of a stinker when I'm in a room where the what I describe as the carousel of rectangles is on.
And it is the carousel of rectangles.
Like, I really hate the limbo time between watching something and watching something else.
We all do. However, it's just really tough to choose anything.
It's tough to get out of it. Yeah. And that's what I hate about it. I'd rather leave the room than, like, try to, like...
Yeah.
To float around on the carousel of rectangles.
Yeah.
And it's even worse when it's... You end up on the YouTube app and, like...
Oh, God.
Everyone is going, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And it's just, like... In between those moments, they're only, like, 2.5 minutes apart. And then there's another 30 seconds of, like... typing, because typing on a TV, to get to, like, this next thing. And it's 2.5 minutes later, you're back to the fucking carousel of rectangles?
Carousel of rectangles. But, yeah, we were doing that.
Yeah.
So you had the remote.
Yeah.
And you were just like, I'm going to look at all the Beethoven movies. And this is my Amazon account.
We wanted to find out what the plots were.
Oh, yeah,
and see
if
we could get trailers. Turned out that Amazon didn't have trailers for, like, 2 onwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I've not removed them for some reason. But...
Because
they're pretty far down in the watch list now. So I just, like, only when I'm going right to the bottom of my watch list do I remember that all the Beethoven movies have been added to my watch list.
I like the idea of someone who doesn't really know you very well, new friend, perhaps, going through your watch list, like, on your TV, like... Yeah. You have a plan somewhere?
Yeah. Well, if it goes on my watch list, it means I'm never watching it. It means I've oh, I could watch that at some point, and then just like, I've had Disney's The Black Hole on my Disney Plus watch list since Disney Plus came out in the UK. I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, it's like your Steam list.
Oh, yeah.
Your Steam, like, not wish list, but your kind of Steam backlog.
Yeah,
like,
I'll get around to playing that someday.
Have stuff on your favourites or whatever, because you're like, I'll play that.
Yeah.
I'll play that. I even have ones of those that are downloaded to my PC.
Yeah.
Because I am... Either I've had it as a present and I feel obliged to play it.
Yeah.
Or I've just got it there. I'm like, any minute now. Any day now, I'm going to press play on that. I'm going to start that game. Yep. Yeah, I'll get there. Mm-hmm.
But first...
Let me spend another 300 hours on The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to Furry Vengeance and animal movies. I think they're pretty simple plots. Human wants something.
Yeah.
Animal in the way.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Like, I would say that, like, you know, the animal usually ends up being the catalyst to the thing that person wants, or for that person learning a lesson.
So what would you say would be the one that's far removed from the...
I would say it's probably Paddington.
Paddington, yeah. Or E.T.
Yeah, something like that.
E.T. Nope. In a way.
It's an animal movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's an animal movie.
Not a family movie.
No, definitely not.
It has the theme of family.
Yeah, there's a family in it. The family's being terrorised by a big animal, spoiler alert. Or is it a big animal? We don't know.
It's a but
big
like,
jellyfish.
I think you can look at all sorts. There's so many, right? Like, Babe is a family animal movie.
Yeah.
You've got, like... I think your classics are like, you know, Air Bud, Beethoven, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Air Bud's the one where the dog plays basketball.
Yes, and there's nothing in the rules of basketball that say a dog can't play basketball. Which is important.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't say however many teams on a, people on a team, humans.
Yeah, yeah.
It says players. And this dog plays basketball. It is a player of basketball.
It's like a Teen Wolf, isn't it? Where the guy turns into a wolf. Not sure that how that would aid his basketball prowess. Or when he turns into a wolf, the referee just goes, play on!
But yeah, you've got like, so I would say you've got the kind of in animal world ones and the out of animal world ones.
Yeah.
You've got your Ice Ages and Madagascars and, mm. And Babes,
mm.
where humans exist. Happy Feet is also a
yes.
Humans do exist in that world, but, well, in Ice Age, some kind of humans exist.
Yeah.
Because there's a baby.
A lot of these weirdly George Miller movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell. They're just good fare, because animated animals,
mm.
or, you know, like Homeward Bound, that sort of thing, right? We can see... we can see into the animals' minds. We're speaking to the animals, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones where, and they're usually live action. These ones, not always, mm. but fantastical animal who doesn't speak.
Yeah.
Is you know, welcomed by a family.
Yeah.
But it's a strange animal. For instance, Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah. Yes. Beethoven.
Beethoven, yeah.
Massive dog.
Just a massive dog, that's all.
Harry and the Hendersons?
Sure, yeah, I would go there. Yeah. More of a, yeah, like, it's not exactly an animal movie, but I think it really has the vibe.
Yeah.
It uses a lot of the same tropes, right?
Now I'm trying to remember, was John Lithgow the dad in Harry, or was he Harry?
No, he was the dad.
Okay, cool. Because they look kind of similar.
Yeah, sure.
In my memory, I'm just sort of like, I'm sure he played both the dad and Harry.
Well, I can find out for you, Tom.
Or was it even John Lithgow?
'87 movie. No, Kevin Peter Hall was Harry. John okay. Lithgow is not that tall.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say John Lithgow is not in it.
He is in it.
He is in it. Good.
Yeah, he plays George Henderson.
Okay.
Dad. Yeah. But yeah, there's all sorts of, like, movies in which, like, you know, there's an animal, like, central to the premise. Usually it's like, dad doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Don't ruin my thing.
Yeah.
Family are at odds with dad,
mm.
usually.
Yeah.
And then dog, animal, whatever it is, mm. comes in and slowly melts the heart of dad. Now, it's not always the case. Sometimes there's shit like Babe, which is just like rad, where it's like, what we want is for this pig to win a tournament of
made for dogs. Yeah. A tournament meant for dogs.
A tournament meant for dogs. It was the potential title.
Yeah.
That they went for with Babe instead.
You think John Lithgow? Because John Lithgow is also in Rise of the Planet of the Apes
mm.
as well. He plays the dad that doesn't kind of want.
Doesn't want apes to take over the
yeah, the world. That's his whole thing. I think it's been a while since I've seen it.
I know. I'm not sure here.
Once you let them in the house,
they'll rule the world.
And next, the Statue of Liberty will be destroyed. It'll be on a beach somewhere.
First thing is you've got you let apes in the house. The second thing is a nuclear holocaust, and then the apes will rule the world.
That's what he predicted.
Yeah.
He was very on the money.
He was on the money,
in
yeah.
that movie.
Furthest family... like, let's push this as hard as we possibly can.
Nope.
Right. Nope does bring a family together.
Yep. Brings a family together.
It's
there's an animal.
It's getting clichéd now.
But the thing
nope
is it's...
Is
yeah.
Every
Nope is the go-to one.
Yeah.
It's at this point we've got to come up with genres that aren't Nope.
The Nope is not in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an easy one. Nope.
Yeah.
E.T. I think would be...
E.T. is, yeah. That's pretty good because mm. it's nearly an animal movie, but E.T. isn't an animal. This is the thing.
E.T. is a plant.
Like, yeah, yeah, E.T. is a plant. Yeah, there you go. Do we have a mineral one? let's see. Animal movies. Something comes into some into a group of people's life. They... Oh!
I say Ice Age is the opposite way around.
Mm. Yeah,
the humans coming into the animals' lives,
which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. It's like, oh, we can't keep it. It's dangerous.
It belongs with its herd.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
they're like with the ET thing. You also have the sort of like the attack the block, where it. I mean, I know you haven't seen it still, but you have like essentially that tweet. Where it was like, me and my friends would have killed E.T. with hammers. Tell you that for nothing.
That's fucking unhinged right there. But no, that response is real.
Yeah. It's like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
And and Attack the Block has some of that vibe.
Yeah.
But not really an animal movie.
Did I ever tell you about Spielberg's treatment for a second E.T. movie?
No.
Where they were talking about pitching a second E.T. movie, and he wrote this treatment for it where the aliens, another race of aliens, came back and kidnapped the kids and tortured them. And E.T. had to come and save them, but it was more like a horror film.
Oh, wow.
And he said he wrote the treatment so that the studio would never make an E.T.
to show them just how bad it would be if they did it. It's funny.
It's like, this is my idea.
What are the like positive things? What are the things we want to see in these upcoming, family movies?
Brendan Fraser being... annoyed.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like poop on head gags.
Yeah.
You know, I want to capture the joy of me in the cinema when I watched the first Fantastic Four movie and a pigeon poos on Ben Grimm's arm.
Yeah.
Because it thinks it's a statue, and a granddad in front of me, in the row in front of me, who's with his kid, said, "Oh, he's left a dropping on him." And I want to capture that moment as much as I can in this one.
Oh, I hope they have that in the new Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah. Just for Grandad.
The CG Stan Lee in there going, oh, he's left a dropping on him!
He's left a dropping on him.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, just the sorts of things that, like, you know, make Grandad happy.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
When you get to see Fantastic Four.
Yeah. I think we've got to put some real dumb jokes in that that aren't liked by anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got to be like, you know, especially with the talking animal ones, because of course we've got those two kinds of movies.
Mm.
Three even, you might say, because you've got your animals are being themselves,
yeah.
Like, for instance, Homeward Bound. The difference between the cats and the dogs is so visible, right? Mm. Those characters are like based on their animal, what animal they are.
Mm.
Cats and dogs, like anything where those animals are the animals that they are, right? And then you've got like Babe has the same thing. They're talking to each other. They are the pig is a certain kind of thing. The dog is a certain kind of thing. The horse is a certain kind of thing, and they are.
Mm.
There's the ones where the animal is just the special thing, this special animal that this family have found, Harry and the Hendersons, that sort of thing.
Yes,
the Beethovens of the world, and then you've got the animal talks to human one, which is absolutely anything.
Is it a talking cat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a talking cat. Is it absolutely anything?
I have no
idea. Is that the one where a dog talks to Simon Pegg?
I think so, yeah. And there's Kate Beckinsale in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I've not seen it.
No, me neither. Right. But yeah, like just like the idea of Simon Pegg, like doing just doing a movie in which the only thing, the only plot point is the dog talk.
You got the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Where the animals only talk to camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a living.
That's it. None of the animals talk unless the camera is pointed at them. And they're talking to the audience.
The animals are the only ones who are aware that they're in a fiction.
That is a weird flex, isn't it?
They've got Deadpool powers.
I've never noticed that before until now, but it's like, oh yeah, no, all the animals can talk.
Yeah.
They just talk to camera. Like, there's no dinosaurs or saber-toothed tigers talking to the Flintstones in that.
Do you think in Deadpool 3 there's going to be a bit where Deadpool, like, goes, hang on, I'll be right back, and then every showing of Deadpool, there is a Deadpool cosplayer who walks across to go to the bathroom. And then, like, there's just a little thing happening, like, technical difficulties, and then he walks back.
That would be incredible. That would be something we've pitched that.
That sort
many
of stuff.
Times.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We've got to hire people out to to be at the screening.
Yep.
And there has to be like specific instructions.
You bring the house lights up.
Yeah,
the guy walks across the screen, walks back, and maybe you only do it for the first few days of the showings, and then you put a different version of the movie in. But it'd be pretty funny.
Mm.
It'd be pretty funny. Anyway,
yeah,
I think we should pitch some movies.
Yeah, let's pitch some movies.
We haven't really discussed the genre, but that's okay.
That's all right.
You can live with it.
Cerveza Cristal.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.